this special edition of Channels, the Next Flow podcast. I'm Geraldine, and today I'm delighted to bring you a set of interviews from four wonderful members of the Next Flow community, who attended the NF Core Hackathon when we were there last month in Barcelona. I had the pleasure of talking with Raquel Manzano, Edmund Miller, Rike Hansen, and Francesco Descai about their work, about NF Core, and about the importance of community. Please enjoy. First up, I sat down with Raquel Manzano, a PhD candidate at Cambridge University.
We're here at the NF Core Hackathon, and this is Raquel, a member of the NF Core community. Raquel, would you please introduce yourself?
So my name is Raquel Manzano, and I come from the University of Cambridge. I am based at Cancer Research UK. And yeah, I've been an NF Core member for over a year now. It's been a very exciting journey. I've been also lucky enough that I've been part of the mentorship program this year, which was quite exciting. Maxine Garcia was my mentor, and it was a great experience.
That's wonderful. So can you tell me a little bit about your research and your work and how you got into NF Core in the first place?
I am a part-time bioinformatician, part-time PhD student. And I'm trying to do for my PhD is looking at intratumoral heterogeneity from bulk sequencing data. And you can do that in DNA looking at mutations. So we do, I do a lot of variant calling. And then I wanted to do the same for RNA sequencing. And if you're not very familiar with mutations in RNA, well, it's slightly challenging. There are some best practices. We have, of course, the JTK best practices that you can follow, and it uses the haplotype color. You are very familiar with it, I'm sure.
A little bit.
But the problem is that I wanted to do a bit more, right? I wanted to do somatic variant calling, and then I went on the hunt to see what people have done around, looking for papers and trying to find code that works nicely. And that is where I hit a little bit of a bottleneck, because there are pipelines out there. They work, but you have to do a lot of tweaking and fighting and debugging. And I don't know, maybe it's because I'm a bioinformatician, but I was like, you know what? I'm doing a PhD. I want to do something that I don't have to suffer to install it, and I don't want my users to feel the same way when I do that. So I wanted to do something reproducible and scalable, because I also wanted to analyze big data sets like TCGA or the ICGC dataset or Harwick. And that's when I found RNA-VAR, that is a pipeline in NF Core that does the JTK best practices. And again, I said I wanted to do a bit more, and then I keep digging. I found Sarek, and then in there I found, wow, this is everything that I want to do. So I said, okay, I want to mix things, and that is when I contacted people on NF Core. I joined the Slack channel, and that really was a discoverment for me, because I am the only one doing NextFlow in my institute. Almost, there are a few people doing it, but not at the same level that I wanted to, and not really people that we are not doing the same thing. So it's not something that I can sit with someone and have a coffee and ask questions.
Right.
So the community was amazing. I think it's the best thing about NextFlow. I don't know how you feel, because you also joined recently, but I think that it's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of the things that interested me about NextFlow, and it's really the NF Core community, and the fact that there's really this strong grassroots movement to come together and collaborate on developing these kind of reference standardized pipelines in a very, like, in a templated way with a lot of standardization around.
Exactly. Yeah, to me, it was like a moment of sync with this community, because that's what I wanted to do. And when I started writing messages, people actually would answer very helpfully, which I think is amazing. And then I said, I went to the new pipelines channel and I asked, well, I want to do this for my PhD. So it will be a mixture of this pipeline and this pipeline, but I will probably add more things to it. And then it was Maxine who answered. He said, yes. You know, he's a yes man. I got into it, and then I started a very deep dive into NextFlow. I basically stopped working for a month just reading NextFlow code, because you have to understand, at this point, I only knew that NextFlow existed. I haven't done any NextFlow coding, so I was like, okay, so I need to understand what is going on. And NF Core pipelines, I think for a new user, it can be very overwhelming because there are a lot of files.
I just joined. I just joined Sakara yesterday. I have run the Hello World example and a tutorial pipeline.
Oh, wow.
So technically, I've run two pipelines already.
Wow.
I'm feeling very confident. later today or tomorrow, I think I'm going to run one of the, I'm going to try running one of the real pipelines.
I have to say,
I think I can run your pipeline.
Oh, I'm doing the testing. I'm finishing the full test today. That's what I want. So
very nice.
Yeah. Wish me luck.
I do. Yes.
Yeah. Because the test was working yesterday and today I tried and I broke it, but it's working again. So, hey. There we go. It's there. I'm really pushing for a first release soon.
You mentioned the mentorship program. Can you tell me a little more about that?
So yeah, actually, so I joined the mentorship program this year because I was working with things, messaging with Maxim a lot and other people. You know, again, they are super helpful and they answer things. And then I felt like the pipeline is done, but it sort of needs like a final push. Mm-hmm. And I was a little bit stuck on that sense because I didn't know the questions to ask.
Mm-hmm.
So I hit there a little bit of a bottleneck.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw that there was the mentorship scheme. I said, oh, this is the perfect opportunity to actually have someone sit with me and, you know, just bomb with questions. And I joined, I applied, I got it. I didn't know who my mentor was. I was just told, oh, you got someone that knows a lot. And I was like, is it Maxime? Because he's always there. And I actually got Maxime and I'm very happy about it because I think he and we work really well. I'm also a person that gets very excited very easily. I always like to try new things. I'm very stubborn about errors and things like this. And I in general, I work very well with Maxim. And I do like to work independently, but sometimes I do, you know, bomb questions for like 10 minutes and then I'm done for the day. But to me it was a really good experience. And what I like about it was also to get to know other mentors and mentees. Mm-hmm. That was really good. The only thing that I missed, and I already said that in the feedback, is that it would have been nice to have like something social, like a small gather of the mentors and mentees to get to know each other because we had monthly meetings, which was great. But then, you know, something more like social, not just talking about our
project. Maybe, are you thinking like something in person or even just a Zoom would be nice?
I would love in person. Yeah, in person is always great, but I understand because there were people from like Brazil, Singapore, I think, or from the Asian part. So maybe, I understand that it's difficult. But
maybe that's something we could do as part of the NF Core Hackathons to be like a little gathering specifically for the alumni.
Yeah.
Of the mentorship program.
Yeah, no, I would love that. And I actually asked in the last session that we had, who is going today? Yeah. I would love to meet you guys, but not many were going.
Okay.
I was like, okay.
That's unfortunate.
Okay. It's okay. But it's nice because I got to meet Maxim in person. So I got to hug him.
Oh,
so.
Nice.
So
yeah,
that was very nice.
I met him yesterday in person as well. And we had a really long discussion in French about technical underpinnings.
Maxwell,
which was really cool.
Which was fun.
I mean, it's my native language, so it's not, and his too. So it's not like a feat of linguistics.
Well, but that's funny. Nice. Yeah. Is it weird to discuss things in your native language? Because for me, sometimes I feel when I try to discuss things in Spanish, I'm like, I switch to English.
Yeah. Every three words, it's like there's an English word that comes out.
Yeah.
Because it's so. I once gave a GHK seminar in French at Pasteur, and it was so complicated. It was challenging, but it was kind of fun though. It was all a French audience, so might as well. Anyway, that's a bit of an aside. You mentioned, you mentioned the mentorship program, and that's something that's, I think so far, has been funded by CZI, the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative.
I think so.
And I think we're hoping to do another round if we can secure the funding, which obviously produces results. So
It does. And I actually, another thing that I like to suggest things. I said that it would be nice to have, like, for the final month or something like that, like a couple of days, if we cannot meet in person, we can do an online hackathon.
Oh yeah,
because it's a nice way to give like a final push,
final push
to those projects that we
deadlines.
Are all doing.
Exactly.
Mm. Even if it is online, if we have something like Gather Town like we are doing here,
and a little show and tell, maybe just like kind of show off what you did and what you achieved. It's always a good feeling.
But it's nice because I think we are gonna, I'm gonna keep collaborating with people that are also working with RNA-seq data anyway. So I think it's a great place to also find people that are doing something similar, and then you can collaborate. And in my case, again, it was like such a relief because I was feeling lonely at work. So having this community and the mentorship and the people that I get to meet here is, for me, I'm super happy.
It has a lot of value, I think. I've experienced that too in the past, being feeling a little isolated. When I was I started out doing bioinformatics, I was in a wet lab environment, and it was, you know, I was teaching myself Python and just struggling with everything.
I've been there. So yeah,
and it's and the opportunity. I remember going to. I convinced my my advisor to let me go to SciPy, travel to go to SciPy Scientific Python conference.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
and that was so
good?
Great.
Yeah,
I mean it was 10 years ago. A little over, actually. It was more. It was almost 15 years ago.
Yeah.
But it was really nice because I met people who were struggling with the same problems, and it was just. It was just wonderful to the feeling of community, the feeling of not struggling alone. We could struggle together.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I really like. And complain together.
Yes.
Complaining is so healthy.
So much complaining.
I love it.
But it's cathartic.
Yes.
And also sometimes you actually discover solutions. Like people are like, oh yeah, I had that problem. I solved it. And then you just get breakthroughs. And SciPy was like, people from all scientific disciplines. So it wasn't just biology either. So that was interesting to get out of the silo of just biology. So that was really cool. Yeah. Fun times. Speaking of traveling, when we talked earlier, you mentioned, OBF.
Yeah, I'm actually, again, I'm very lucky because I didn't have any funding to come here. And I really wanted to come because it was a good opportunity to get to meet my mentor and get to know people from the community. And it was Phil who actually suggested, oh, maybe you can apply to the OBF Bioinformatics. It's the Open Bioinformatics Foundation. And they have a fantastic travel grant that I actually got, so I am super happy.
And
they funded, they gave me $1,000 to come here, and then thankfully my PI is covering the rest because Barcelona is expensive, but I'm lucky enough that I got everything covered, so very happy to be here.
Fellowships like that make a really big difference to enable this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I know from my other side of my life, the OBF fellowships covered not just travel, but also things like expenses related to going to conferences, including if you need to do an online conference and if you don't have the right equipment.
Yes, they also offer to pay that. I think it's just fantastic. And what I found,
and they'll cover childcare costs as well, which is really important.
That's amazing. Yeah, exactly. And childcare is expensive.
Oh my gosh.
It's great. And what I really like is that it's open to everyone, and that I really appreciated because I wasn't sure because I am in the UK, so I didn't know. But it's open to everyone. Anyone can apply. It's open by information. And I really love the idea because I do like, you know, when I use code, I like that it's open source that you can reproduce in. Well, that's why I got into Nextflow anyway. So I really like that idea. And, you know, to have people that promote that and they fund them, but that's just fantastic.
All right. Well, on that note, thank you so much for talking to us today.
Well, thank you so much, Geraldine. It's great to be here talking to you. You know, I already told you, but I'm a big fan of your work. So this was amazing. Yeah.
Very cool. Well, enjoy the rest of the hackathon and the summit the rest of this week. And see you around.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, Edmund Miller, PhD candidate at the University of Texas in Dallas.
Hi, Edmund.
Hi.
Can you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your background and what do you do?
Well, hi, everyone. I'm Edmund. I'm a PhD candidate at the University of Texas at Dallas. I study functional genomics. More specifically, I'm interested in some regulatory RNAs called eRNAs, which stands for enhancer RNAs.
And what kind of data types do you work with as part of that?
So typically NGS data types. From those, it's kind of like RNA-seq, but usually you're doing slightly different things to get the nascent transcripts to come out versus just getting the steady-state mRNAs.
Okay. So is there a lot of What kind of challenges do you face in that regard? Is it there's a lot of data, or the science is just not very established and there's a lot of development that needs to be done?
Probably more the latter. It's a little more niche of a field. It requires a lot of knowledge for understanding the various biology aspects that are going on, versus RNA-seq's a simple, like, I wouldn't say simpler, but a an easier to say, this gene's going up, this maps here for that. And the assays, more importantly, more people use the assays commonly, so the tools are very run through. So that's a little bit of the difference with Mason, was I had a lot of issues with reproducibility when I first started working on it.
Right, that makes sense. So what brought you to NextFlow and NFCore?
That's good. My origin story is kind of, I picked up the project from a previous PhD student, and he had done the project when he first started, and then 2 or 3 years later, my PI was like, hey, you can pick this up too. And so he hadn't written anything down at the beginning of it, so I just had what was in the paper of, like, here's what I ran for that. Have fun. And so I had a lot of difficulty trying to reproduce the exact ERNAs that he had identified.
Oh, I see.
Is kind of where I got started and got to like 25% or so, like, that weren't reproducible on those. And then that's actually been later validated in a paper that came out last year.
Nice.
That they found, which was really nice.
Very nice. So
I started out with that. Struggled with reproducibility, got into workflow managers from that, looked at SnakeMake and NextFlow, and this was back in 2017, so that was still DSL-1. Yeah.
So you started out with SnakeMake out of the gate, kind of?
Yeah, kind of out of the gate. Did a little bit of Make, but then I quickly got into workflow managers from that.
And how did you get to NextFlow from there?
And so from there, I was starting to... It was right before the pandemic hit. It was right before spring break in March there.
Yeah.
We had a lab meeting so I could teach everybody all of the templates that I made for our SnakeMake workflows. I had CI set up, testing, all that good stuff, reports being generated automatically. I was starting to work on that. And then right before I was going to present it to them, I found NFCore. And I'm like, man, they're already doing all this stuff. And there's so many people already involved. This is great. Yeah.
So you decided to just scrap what you had already done, and you already had done a bunch of work, and you decided, screw that, I'm just going to use this new thing. And
Exactly. Yeah. It was right, I think the NFCore, the Crick hackathon was the week after that. And I just watched all the activity on Slack, and I'm like, I gotta join in on this, because I'm a big proponent of... Mm-hmm. Not reduplicating others' efforts and like reinventing the wheel. I'd rather everybody work together on it.
So you saw that and you were like, okay, this is, it's worth it throwing that stuff away and just starting fresh, but because this is part of being part
community.
Of the community. Yeah, nice.
Had nothing to do with the language, honestly.
that makes total sense. It's one of the things that's fascinated me, is I've been sort of following the evolution of NextFlow and the NFCore community from a distance for the past couple of years. Mm-hmm. I was using a different workflow language, Whittle. And it's been really interesting to see how strongly this community has grown, and it's a very I think it's a very strong point. How did you get into NFCore hackathons? Like, what do you like about them?
What do I love about them? Well, they started out online, and I just loved the inclusive community. It's fantastic to be a part of immediately from the online perspective, and being able to hop on calls and meet all these people and start working on stuff. Of course, everyone being online probably helped with that.
Yeah, at the time, it wasn't really a choice. Yeah. So is it the first one in person that you do, or did you come last year?
I came last year,
Oh, nice.
And it was, it's phenomenal. I just love the atmosphere and everybody, and the world just stops for 2.5 days, and we all just work on NFCore and make so much progress.
So what are you working on during the hackathon this weekend?
I got a lot of things going. We have NF test, of course.
Okay, right.
Working on that. Maxime and I have cleaned up the GitHub teams as well and set up some auto PR notifications.
Right.
That was a big one. I'm currently working on trying to build the Docker containers with Wave.
What is that?
It's the Paolo introduced it last year at the summit, but basically whenever you run your NextFlow pipeline, it will then build from a Docker file
those
automatically versus you have to build, push back and forth.
Right.
So I'm hoping that we can replace those and just build from the Conda IMs rather than use mold containers with bio containers.
Oh, I see. Interesting.
So all the code lives in one spot, and that's kind of going with the whole pushing these unified modules.
Yeah, that makes sense. So what are you hoping to achieve by the end of the hackathon?
I don't know. I don't set out. Yeah, I don't set out with a specific goal. We just
get together and hack
I was talking to Felix yesterday, and he had a wish list, and I'm like, I just kind of start going.
Yeah, it's interesting. I feel like there's really two kinds of people. There's the ones who I want to get this, and this done, and then there's people who show up and I just want to work with people and be in the same room and chill out. So, and both are fair.
Exactly.
It's no judgment. Good. So, next few days, we're going to have the summit. What's in store for you afterwards?
What's in store for me in the future? Well, I'm working on wrapping up my PhD on that. And then, I'd probably like to get a job at a startup or, I don't know.
Do you have a career plan type? You want to do a particular type of thing, or you just take it as you go?
I'm just kind of taking it as I go.
That's very chill attitude.
I like to work on cool stuff.
Working on cool stuff. That's a good one. Yeah. Well, I wish you the best. Thank you so much for talking to me today. And enjoy the rest of the hackathon and the summit.
Will do. You
All
too.
Right. Thanks.
Now let's hear from Rieke Hansen, also a PhD candidate at Cubic at the University of Tübingen.
Hello, Rieke.
Hi.
Thank you for joining me. Could you introduce yourself?
Sure. So I'm Rieke. I work at Cubic, which is the Quantitative Biology Center in Tübingen, in Germany, and goes part of the University of Tübingen.
Oh, what kind of research do you do?
So we are a core facility for data management in the life sciences, and I'm mostly involved with pipeline development and data processing.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I see. So which pipelines do you work on? Is it a small set or just a wide array?
Majority of my time I work on SARIC, the pipeline for whole genome, whole exome, panel data processing, variant calling. But then we have various utility pipelines that I get involved with, or secondary analysis, little visualization things.
I've heard that SARIC is the biggest pipeline the most complex pipeline in NF Core. Is that true?
It's definitely up there. I think it probably competes with EAGR for the biggest and most complex pipeline. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, Maxime was telling me everything about everything that it does, and it sounded like everything, all of that in one pipeline?
Yeah.
Sounds like a lot.
Yeah, but we keep joking about taking over the world with SARIC, but
I mean, I kind of like that it's got GHK in it. So if you want to take over the world with GHK, I mean, that used to be my job.
Yeah.
But you're very welcome. Cool. I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about how you got into using Nextflow specifically as part of your work. Was that something you did or the core facility was already using?
So I did my master's in a different group where Alex Pelzer was also part of, one of the co-founders of NF Core, together with Phil. And at some point he was like, yeah, I tried out this new Nextflow thing. And then he told us a little bit about it. And I just found it really interesting. So for my master thesis, I started using it. And then I started at Cubic, where I was very involved in the beginning of NF Core. And then one thing led to another. I was taken to the first hackathon, or not the first one, but my first hackathon in 2019, and just had a ton of fun and just felt very welcome and invited. And it was the beginning of a PhD, I guess, is always very scary and stressful. You have no idea what you're doing. And then you're in this nice community and everybody's really supportive. And
yeah.
Oh, you fixed the typo, yay. And it's yes, I did my first PR today. And
nice.
Just,
nice.
Yeah, very feel good.
Yeah. That's wonderful. Finding feel like finding a community like that is important at any stage, but to do so particularly at the start of your PhD sounds like a really, really great way to get going.
Yeah, I think, I don't know how things would have turned out otherwise, but I think it was definitely very good.
Yeah, that's good wonderful. Having a good first experience like that. Because so many people start out feeling kind of isolated in those kind of experiences. So cool.
I think I still felt it in the beginning, and then you just meet so many people then, and you meet people you are like, we maybe touch on your research, and you like have people to chat with. And
I've just been meeting everybody in the community from yesterday, like literally from yesterday, right? And it's been a really welcoming experience. So what has been your involvement with NF Core? I know you obviously contribute to and maintain pipelines. Does it go beyond that?
It goes beyond that. So I started getting really involved at some point in the hackathon planning, just because I thought it was fun.
Oh, okay.
And also, then I was asked, maybe you can give like a little talk on how to run your first pipeline. And I said, yeah, sure, why not? So, and then, you know, you keep getting more and more involved. And I just really enjoy the community work, and it gives a lot back to me to also see that what I do is like helpful for people, and someone's actually using what you're doing, and they find it helpful and useful in their everyday life.
That's wonderful.
I think then from hackathons, and then you get involved here a little bit, and you take over there a little chunk, and then you got to go to like a part of meetings where you get to shape things maybe a little bit more.
And you are part satisfying. Of the core governance group now, right?
Yeah, I think, I don't actually know since a couple of years.
How has that been as an experience of being part of the group that kind of drives the design and the evolution of the language?
They never really had the feeling that there was like this point of, now something changes because you're part of the core team. Oh, okay. It was just like a very natural evolution of being involved, and then like, hey, you've been super involved this whole time. You should be part of the core team. And
that's nice.
And it's just like very naturally moving on. Yeah, exactly. Oh. It's not like, okay, now I have all these extra things to do. It's more like, I've been doing all these things.
It's almost more recognition of your contribution. Oh, interesting. That's really cool. How does that mesh with your job obligations? Like, because often this kind of community service/volunteering in an open source project, it's not necessarily part of your job. So how does that go over with your bosses? And
I have to say that so Sven, my boss, is very supportive of NF Core. Also, nice. They have been part of the founding group. So almost everyone at Cubic is very involved, and almost all pipelines that we write, we try to contribute back, or if for some reason we can't, we at least make use of all the NF Core tooling. I guess also because for us, we anyways have to have to write these pipelines, so we might as well try to work in a community.
That makes sense.
And in fact, I guess RNA-Seq is probably one of the most used pipelines at the Institute, and we are not regularly contributing to it, but it's there and it's great and it works. So
they see the value. They're completely bought into the value of getting this grassroots. That's great.
I do have to say that things that maybe not so Cubic specific, but like, I don't know, pipeline release reviews that are completely have nothing to do with my work, I see more as like a volunteer effort. I don't know, other people help out. Yeah. In the dark park or whatever, they do other volunteer work, and so this is how I define this for me sometimes. Okay. I'm like, hey, I'm gonna spend 2 hours tonight, review a pipeline, have a cup of tea,
That's fair. I think there's a lot of projects in the open source world that kind of rely on that level of motivation and that level of passion. So I'm glad there's people like you who continue to do that kind of work and who are passionate about it, because it really does make a huge difference in terms of enabling so many more people to focus on their science and really be able to do their research without having to re-implement a wheel. I'm coming over from a different workflow language where it hasn't been quite that strong of a community engagement. And it's one of the things that I find attractive about Nextflow and of course, really the amount of engagement that you see from people and the coming together to develop really these pipelines that are, it's not just the basic pipeline like code that does stuff, but things are structured in a way that tries to be consistent and templated. And at this hackathon, the effort to put in the tests and so on, I think it's really fantastic to see that, because that is going to have a potentiating effect on so many people's research. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
So what are you hoping to get out of this hackathon specifically?
So personally, so for a few weeks been working on a way to automatically benchmark Sarek on release. Mm-hmm. So if you know, in Core Pipelines, on each release we run full-size tests on AWS with like real-life data. And in the case of Sarek, we opted for some data from Genome in a Bottle and a data set for somatic calling that also has a true set. And there's a separate effort from Johannes Köster called NCBench, where you can push your variants to or UVCF files, and then it will just compute precision recall these things. And I could do this manually on release, but I just know I'll be lazy, I will forget, I'll be like, I'm going to do it for the patch release. And it's really better to automate it. So, and we've made Edmund actually came over. It's like, this sounds really interesting. And it's been...
That's very cool.
So this is my personal goal. I don't know if we'll achieve it, but we're getting there. Baby steps.
Getting closer.
We have tiny new things now. So.
Very good. Very good.
And then, of course, being like a group leader, helping people, trying to make sure everyone is not lost and knows what to do next, and trying to help them.
That's wonderful. What would you like to see more of? Like, let's say in the next hackathon, what do you think would be really cool to add or change about how things currently work, if anything?
It's always a bit hard to say. I mean, I guess one of the things that we have always, or that I personally always would like to see, is that especially women or people who feel like they are part of a minority, not feel like, but are part of a minority, that they feel confident and engaged and like they can speak up. And I mean, for me, it was always, has been that I felt always very, I never felt like, oh, I'm making a mistake, but like it was always very welcoming, and you make mistakes all the time, of course, but nobody's judging you for it, and people try to help you. And so the feeling that for a lot of people, this is a bit of a barrier, and I really hope that we can make it even more welcoming and inviting, that people feel at ease and just try out stuff, and you know, maybe it breaks stuff, whatever.
I think that's, do you know XKCD, the comic? There's this great, one of them, a classic one, is the one where there's like, it's two panels, and XKCD is a comic with like stick figure people, right? And there's, the first panel is two stick figures that are like two guys stick figures, and one of them, they're drawing equations on whiteboard, and one of them makes a mistake, like the equation is wrong, and the other says like something like, wow, you suck at math.
Yeah.
That's the line. And then the second panel, it's like the one who makes a mistake is a little girl stick figure, and the guy says, wow, girls suck at math.
Yeah.
Right? It's always the, I mean, it's not everywhere, right? But sometimes you have that feeling that there's a different way of looking at it, and a lot of people coming in might feel like, well, if I make a mistake, people are going to look at me, and it can be very intimidating, right? Especially if you walk in and everybody knows each other, and there's not a huge amount of diversity on display. it can be intimidating, but it's true that I think if we can foster an environment where people don't feel like that, and people are feeling welcome. I found everybody extremely welcoming so far.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I've always felt incredibly comfortable, but maybe then I'm also not the right person to ask, because maybe somebody who is not feeling comfortable would have more pointers or sees things that I don't. But I do really hope that we can,
I think sometimes it's even just an appearance thing. Like, I find everybody very welcoming. I think they profoundly are, but some people might see the group and be like, I don't know if I will be. And so the question is, how do we get to the next step, right, where more people are able to come and be part of this? I would love to
There was last year, there was a panel at the NextFlow Summit about inclusion and diversity. And Marcella also mentioned things like barriers for English as a second language and so on. And that's
true.
Certainly another aspect.
There's a lot of factors, right? Yeah. There's economic reasons for not being able to come either. There's also childcare, cost of childcare. I have two small children. And it's just, oh my gosh. I mean, right now I'm okay because my wife is taking care of the kids, right? But there's so many reasons why people have a hard time attending events in person. I think anything we can do to make people feel like they can come.
Even having like maybe childcare grants or options here to have childcare or something.
I was talking to Raquel earlier and she's here because she got a travel fellowship from the OBF, the Open Bioinformatics Foundation, that helped her be able to come here. It doesn't cover everything, but it makes a big difference. So I think anytime there's initiatives like that where we can get funding and support from sponsors, I think it makes a big difference in terms of enabling people to come, whatever the reasons are for things being difficult otherwise. Yeah. It's hard because there's like a spectrum of logistics problems, of all sorts of real life problems. There's perception. It's complicated. But
it really is,
I love finding a community that has its heart in the right place.
Yeah, I mean, we just have to keep trying.
Yes, exactly.
We're not going to do everything perfectly, of course. And
it's true.
Yeah.
But yeah, when people try, you can achieve a lot of great things. So
yeah. And I mean, I do really like this very active Slack group because no matter where you are, you can join on Slack. And aside from hackathons, there's so much going on Slack all the time. And we have like, I guess Phil initiated this, like, you are awesome channel.
Oh, yeah.
For memes and, you know, all of these goofy little things that just make you smile. And
it's the kind
of
thing.
Make it more personal and not just like, hey, I have an error message. Who knows what to do kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, and it's something, I think once you build a community where you can tell it's a community, it's not just a place where you go and you get questions answered, but it's a community and people have, there's a difficult to quantify amount of quality of human interaction that you can sort of sense. There's a vibe, right, in young people's parlance. There's a vibe, and I feel like that there is that with NF Core. It kind of sets the expectation that you're going to be there as, you know, seen as a person, and people interact as people. Wow, that was profound. Sorry, it's late in the day. It's been a long day. So what's next for you? What's a next step after the hackathon? Are you
for me personally? I'll try to finish up my thesis. I'm trying to write it up, and then we'll see what happens.
Okay.
But that's my big goal for the end of the year, beginning of next year.
Wow, that's
tie any loose ends and wrap up.
Well, that's an awesome goal. I wish you the best.
Thank you.
You're part of a community that you've contributed to an enormous amount, and I'm sure we'll be happy to help you achieve your goal. Thank you so much for agreeing to talk to me today.
And thank you for having me.
Enjoy the rest of the hackathon.
Thanks.
And finally, Francesco Descai, Associate Professor of Bioinformatics at the University of Pavia.
Hi, Francesco.
Hello.
Could you introduce yourself?
Yes, I work at the University of Pavia. I have a group of computational genomics, and we work on the genetic determinants of human diseases, and in particular neurological and inflammatory diseases.
Oh, very nice. So how long have you been involved with the NF Core community then?
That was since 2019, when I first moved to the Medicine and Healthcare Regulatory Agency in UK. That's where there was a bit of conversation about adopting a workflow engine of some sort. I've been using, the engines that the Broad built, you know, in Scala.
GHQQ? Yes,
exactly.
Oh, wow, that goes back.
So, exactly. It feels like an entirely different era.
Yes, yes, it was. I don't often meet GHQQ users. That's pretty niche.
Yes, exactly. I remember lots of Scala code, yes, written at that, yep, time. Mm-hmm. For JTK. So when I moved there, we were discussing about adopting a slightly more modern and accessible. Sorry.
No, to be fair, for those who are not familiar, Q was a workflow system that was baked into, like, very closely integrated with GHK.
Yes, exactly.
And it was really meant for running GHK pipelines. And the integration made it very easy to write, yes, GHK pipelines, but quite awkward to write anything that used external tools.
Exactly.
It was possible, but awkward.
But yeah.
And so understandably, if you needed to, you know, run other things, exactly, as you do, it didn't make sense.
Slightly more flexible. So we were discussing about different options, mm-hmm, and then we ended up choosing Nextflow. And I have to say that that's been probably, I present it this way, the one of the best investments that I've done, in the sense that I moved quite a bit, and in terms of portability, mm-hmm, and scalability of the code, I don't think that it matches anything else, yeah, in the sense that I when I moved back to Italy and to start my group in computational genomics, the day after my, mm-hmm, code that had at the agency was running on the local cluster in Pavia, and I think that was, like, you know,
yeah, that's
made me smile a lot, and also you know, a sense of relief in the sense that I didn't have, you know,
to spend 3 months
to do much work, exactly, because transitions are usually you know,
painful,
quite painful, yes, and then seeing your code running as is basically, once you move somewhere else, it's like, oh gosh.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So how did you go about choosing Nextflow? Did you try a lot of other stuff?
No,
for
actually,
a while,
didn't. We looked at a couple of benchmarks, mm-hmm, and then we looked at the code. I mean, the two contenders were SnakeMake and Nextflow, mm-hmm, at that time, and but I like the way Nextflow is structured. Mm-hmm. It is a bit agnostic on the code. So yeah, SnakeMake was like choosing Python, and it felt like we had a bit more open possibilities.
Mm, more flexibility.
Right? Yes, more flexibilities,
yeah,
and
makes
so
sense.
On. And so it wasn't a choice based very much on knowledge of the code itself, mm-hmm, because that's something that you get after studying a little bit.
Yeah.
But I mean, I confirmed all the choices all along, because mm-hmm, the more we got into using it and developing pipelines and contributing also to NF Core, I think that all the choices that have been made make sense, and are very well structured and rational. Mm-hmm. So this is something that is also easier to communicate and explain, mm-hmm, to students as well. And
that's important.
So we have integrated Nextflow in several of the courses we run at the university. Okay. You know, bits and pieces. Sometimes, mm-hmm, it's just basic things. Sometimes it's full pipelines.
Yeah.
But it makes it easier also to teach, and training is also something the community has invested a lot. So I think
there's
lots of resources available, and it is an added value as well.
Yeah. So it feels like you've been using it for quite a while. How have you seen it evolve? Like, seen the project evolve over time? The language. Do you feel like there's been a lot?
You know, of course, there's this major person engine that is Paolo, you know, and I told him last year that I think he had this capacity of anticipating things, mm-hmm, and making choices, seeing what's coming next.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, been reflected in the language itself, mm-hmm, and how it evolved. And that's fantastic, because, I mean, I think we see all lots of challenges in terms of costs of computing, mm-hmm, and, you know, using or not the cloud, and now the, you know, the choices between on-premises and on, mm-hmm, the cloud, and so on. And the way Nextflow has evolved, and especially in the past couple of years, I think has, mm-hmm, been able to match these kind of challenges that were coming. And most of the added value is also from the NF Core community as well, right. Because that's something honestly unique in terms of, mm-hmm. you know, coding, the fact that this sort of community has developed around mm-hmm. a code, and there are people from many different backgrounds, and you still are able to discuss on common grounds and, yeah. and so on. And this is an absolutely fantastic added value. I mean, we are four from my lab this year, the hackathon, and I think okay. it's an experience.
All
that,
four of you came.
Yes,
yeah.
yes,
oh, nice.
Yes, yes.
That's because, also an investment.
Yeah, it is. Yes, it is. Exactly.
It's not cheap. You know, for people in Barcelona.
Yes, from the management point of view, yes, it is. But yeah. but I think it's a unique experience as well, especially, you know, for someone who is approaching Nextflow, mm-hmm. starting to write their own code and so on. The possibility of, you know, exchanging and also discussing their code with someone mm-hmm. who's not their supervisor,
yes,
but who's also experienced as well, and different way and style of coding and so on. And mm-hmm. here you have everything. So I think it's yeah. really a
That's
fantastic
wonderful.
Opportunity. Yeah.
Yeah, it is pretty unique. This is my first NF Core hackathon. Obviously, I'm completely new to the community. How you've been coming to these events for quite a while.
Yes, my first one was in March 2020 at the Francis Crick Institute
oh, wow.
in London.
Oh, that would have been right before the lockdowns.
It was. I think it was probably the week before.
Right.
They locked everything in the UK just the week after we ran the right. the hackathon. In,
and were there were London. some hackathons online, right?
Online, during, yes.
During COVID.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's been fun as well. I think it was the second hackathon online when GatherTown was adopted.
Oh.
That was such a
you like it?
Fun experience. Yes, because everybody was very excited because it was still during the lockdown in many yeah. different countries. Everything was still completely under, you know, under yeah. tier four in UK, zona rossa, red zone yeah. in Italy. You know, so yeah. people couldn't really move. And it felt like it was a sort of as close as you can get to an in-person experience, mm-hmm. you know, with these avatars going yeah. around, and then you can actually chat only when you're close to yeah. each other. It was fun. And
it's a very different way
yes,
of
yeah.
Yeah, interacting.
So, sure. and now also this sort of mixed hackathons where there are people following online, but still on GatherTown, I think it still makes sense. But of course,
yeah.
there's no match with the kind of interaction you can have in person.
Yeah, it's always, I think it's a difficult balance to strike. It's more work for the organizing committee.
It's
logistical challenges, but it does feel like it's worth it for all the people who can't be there in person.
Absolutely, yes, of course.
Yeah, I've sometimes in the past been in the situation of not being able to go to an event because I have small children. You know, there's a variety of reasons. Sometimes it's economic. So it's nice to make it possible for people to join.
Yeah, and the fact that it's live as well, because, I mean, the last one I attended to remotely was the deposit conference just mm-hmm. A couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you still have to sort of ring fence your time.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
so
true.
If you
yeah.
sort of force yourself to follow something live, even if it's remote,
mm-hmm.
Then you sort of protect that time for that kind of activity. Because otherwise, if you follow things that are recorded, then, you know,
it's not the same engagement.
You promise yourself
right?
that you're going to have that time for
yeah.
it, and then, you know,
yeah, then something comes up,
phone
and you're
call,
like,
something,
I'll
up.
Watch yeah. the recording afterwards because it's not going to make
and
a
it's
difference.
It's never going to happen.
It makes a difference.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
That's
so
that's very true.
I mean, this is how it goes. You
yeah.
have to be there live. So I think these mixed with GatherTown
yeah.
hackathons still help that kind of thing,
it's
even
still
if you're if you're away.
That's true. That's true. So now we're back in person and we're here in person, which is wonderful. I mean, for me, I've been really enjoying the aspect of meeting people from the community
yes.
since I'm joining as a developer advocate. It's nice to meet developers, meeting all the people in a community who contribute to the pipelines and so on. It's this. I've heard that since last year, the size of the community that shows up to the hackathon has increased considerably. How do you feel? How has that gone for you?
I mean, of course, I'm very excited to see more people joining mm-hmm. the hackathon because that makes it incredibly more diverse and there's mm-hmm. more chances to exchange things. I was discussing these with one of my interns who was mm-hmm. attending, and he was saying that the quality of interaction last year for him was a bit better.
Oh.
In the sense that, of course, I don't want to say it was more intimate, but it was 50 people in a kind of different room. So he felt like he was able more to interact more with people, exchange a little bit more.
That's fair.
So that, I mean, that probably makes sense. And I think the level of experience makes a difference as well, in the sense that I didn't notice this myself, but of course it's a...
Well, for people who are maybe more junior and maybe a bit more reserved, it can be a little more daunting. It's true,
especially as you know, when it's bigger. And,
I wonder if that's something that, that could be tackled through like breakouts or sessions where you, you physically put a smaller number. Because here, I mean, people are in small groups at tables.
Yes.
But if you don't already know people, you might not go sit at their table. But if you physically put a smaller number of people in a room, you, I wonder if you can recapture that. That's,
I think something that really worked last year was to have tables by groups. So the modules, the module groups, the pipelines group, they were on the same table,
Like very clearly identified with that.
Yes.
Yeah.
This year, I mean, probably with more attendance, is a bit more difficult to organize in advance.
Yeah.
But the fact that probably you're working on similar tasks, it makes the interaction a little bit easier, I think.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because otherwise, if you're with, I mean, in these tables, like this year, without any identified topic per table, you sort of need to know who to ask to if you have a specific problem.
And if you're here with your advisor, that's one thing, because they can introduce you. But if you're...
But I would
assume that would be especially a problem for younger...
Younger
people who are here by themselves, maybe for the first time. That could be a... Interesting. I feel like that's something we should think about. Maybe in the context of the mentorships too.
Yes, exactly. That's also been a wonderful initiative as well, and probably could be sort of used, exploited for the hackathon as well.
I was talking to Raquel earlier, who did participate in the mentorship program, and Maxime Garcia was her mentor, and she had a lot of really good things to say about the mentorship. One of the things she wished was that there was a get together for people who went through the mentorship program.
Ah, sure, that would be very nice.
And we're thinking that maybe a specific get together for the alumni of the mentorship might be kind of neat.
Yes, yes.
That, you feel like that could potentially
help?
I
think it's a good idea. I mean, I'm participating to different kind of mentorship initiatives, and they have regular coffee meetings, you know, coffee groups and so on in different cities. And that's always a chance for people to meet and exchange also their mentorship experience and... you know, mentors as well, because mentoring people is not an easy task, and sometimes
it's not, and there's often not training for how to be a good mentor. It's
not
something we improvise.
Not. I mean, there's lots of material, but the point is that sometimes when you get into mentorship, you're not trained for it. So
maybe there should be a get together for mentors.
Yes, that's
actually
that's also what I meant.
Also,
to exchange ideas and experiences among mentors as well, because it gives, I think, it helps everybody grow from anybody else's experiences as well.
I love that idea. Yeah. Cool. Very good. So how
the moment you sit down, you get new ideas, and there's stuff to be done next. So.
Stuff to be done, priorities.
Exactly.
But right now we're sitting outside. We're doing. We can talk about the blue sky. So what are you hoping to get out of the rest of the hackathon?
So we had different tasks from the lab as well. Someone is coding more, let's say, more intensely. We've been benchmarking rapid NGS tools. So one of the ideas, for example, was to something has been done already a little bit, but to complete the integration of Parabricks, for example, in SAREC. That's something that we are trying to contribute to, because we collaborate with hospitals where they might have from time to time need for ultra rapid NGS analysis. So that could
things like
help.
Newborn sequencing
precisely. So But otherwise, also, we've just started a new pipeline for simulating variants in case control settings.
And oh, okay.
We would like to try and unify the way you sort of design these things. Mm. And then based on that, using different simulation tools,
right.
So translating, let's say, the configs that are a nightmare
yes.
in different tools. And instead of having something that has, let's say, grammar, and yeah. then it gets translated into different tool yeah. specific configs. So that's something that is just started, and so we're beginning to write the first modules
okay.
for that. And I myself have focused on training material, actually, because okay. we do so much teaching at the university as well, and I thought there's really no point in developing things that are specific for your course if we can develop
oh, yes.
stuff mm-hmm. in a way that is reusable for other people as well, and maybe in the same style of other Nextflow training
yeah.
that are there already that could be something that other people can use as
yeah.
well.
Oh, that's so, always super valuable.
I've been focusing on that in
oh, excellent.
These days.
So, yeah. Excellent. Yeah, well, that, I look forward to seeing that then. Because
oh, yes.
that's
some of the stuff will be on GADK. So.
Oh, well, there you go. You probably don't want to ask me any questions now. I'm a little out of date.
No, I mean, if you have to choose you know, an example workflow, I mean, it's going to be GADK best practice, germline. I mean, there's not much to choose from.
So, yeah,
for variant calling at least,
yeah, yeah.
then we'll
yeah.
probably do something on transcriptomics as well.
Mm, okay, yeah,
so.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for talking
thank
to
you
me
so
today.
Thank you so much for chatting. Yes,
enjoy the rest
pleasure.
Of the hackathon and
then
and the summit. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, that's all for today. I hope you enjoyed hearing from our guests, and that we'll see many of you at the NFCore Hackathon next year. Goodbye.